I'm thankful to be here this weekend. Early on in when I started doing youth retreats with Brother Isaac, one of the things that would happen for me would be that I would get very caught up in all of the logistics of planning a youth retreat, and I'd focus a lot on, you know, making sure that we had the right material, that we had the right speakers, that we had everything planned out just so. But, you know, when I started that, one of the things that would happen then is I actually found that I would go to youth retreat and I would be there, but I never felt like I would get anything out of it myself. I felt like the work that I was doing to put everything in place kind of excluded me, and the Lord dealt with me about that a couple of years ago, and very pointedly spoke to me and said, "No, Tim, I want you to receive too. I want you to enter in. I want you to be part. I want you to be drawn closer to me as part of the youth retreats." And I'm thankful this weekend that I've been experiencing that this year. I've been experiencing that while I've been here these last 2 days. God has been drawing near to us. And you know, especially since the teaching material that we've been going through, it can be the case that we lose sight of the fact that we're not just trying to give out good advice, but rather what we're doing is we're looking into God's Word and we're seeking to actually come into a closer fellowship with Him, because we find that when we do that, then life works better. Life is easier for us. And I don't mean that there won't be troubles in the way, but when you do life the way that God intends for you to do life, well, then things go a little bit smoother. And I'm just thankful that over this weekend so far, God has really been meeting us. And it's my prayer and the prayer of all the youth leaders that you, the youth, have actually found that you have entered into the meetings and you found Jesus to be near to you and to be close to you, and that He's been speaking to you. For those of you who have not been part of the youth retreat, we've been studying the Imago Dei, which means the image of God. And we've been taking that, the text, our teaching text has been in Genesis 1, 2, and 3. And we've been going through that. And the first night, Brother Tim spoke to us and he talked to us about the fact that we are created in the image of God, and that gives us a value and a dignity which is rooted in something that cannot change. And it gives us a rationale and a logic for looking at life and looking at the life of those around us and realizing that life, human life, is valuable and it's at the top of the created order that God created. And then yesterday morning, Brother Isaac and Sister Beth spoke to us about man's purpose and woman's purpose, and the fact that God created male and female, and that there's very specific things that God has foreordained that men and women ought to walk in. And that's part of God's beautiful design. That is not to exclude one group from the other group or anything like that. But men and women are created in equally in dignity, value, and worth. And they are created in the image of God, both created in the image of God. But they have different missions, if I could put it that way. And so we spoke about that yesterday morning. Then last night, Sister Naomi and myself, we spoke about the struggles that men and women have, and the fact that because the mission that God has given to men and women are different, and because sin came in and fractured all of creation, men and women struggle differently. That's not to say that there aren't other sins and other things that men and women deal with, and maybe they have the same bents in certain areas. But as far as the purpose of men and women in fulfilling God's purpose in the created order and fulfilling God's purpose in the flourishing of mankind, there's different ways in which that bears itself out that has fractured within society. Has fractured within our communities. We spoke about that last night. But you know, the reason I got up, and this is the testimony I wanted to give, and I had a really hard time last night just sticking with, you know, speaking about the struggle side of things. That's because, you know, when we learn anything from the Bible, when we read God's Word, it gives us hope. It is not meant to knock us down and leave us there, but every time the Bible points something out in our life and says, no, this is the way, walk in this, and say, you're not doing this, you can't live up to it, and it's true. If you look at God's laws and His decrees and the things that it says for us to do, you can't do it. You can't do it. You are unable to do it. But that's not where the story ends. And this is why I had a trouble last night, because what I wanted to say and what I was thinking and what I started to say at the end is that no. Because of what Jesus has done, he has redeemed. And I don't want to, I know that's what we're going to talk about this morning, but I am so thankful this morning because of what Jesus has done. Because he has not left us there and say, hey, you guys blew it. Creation is fractured. Societies are falling apart. Men aren't being men. Women aren't being women. And everyone's, you know, kind of doing their own thing. They're selfish in their own ways. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us at the point of our failure, but rather at that moment, hallelujah, Jesus enters into history and changes the story. Makes everything completely new for us. Instead of being left with despair because of what happened in the garden, instead, right at the point of failure, we see the first prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ. And right there at the beginning, when all hope seems lost, we sang a song yesterday, right? Where it seemed like death and hell had triumphed over heaven. But it was just at that point, when Jesus was dying, that the greatest victory was being won. And God does this. He takes the sad things in life and makes them untrue. And he takes where we are in our life and he can make things beautiful out of those ashes. And so this is the verse. I read it last night. I just want to read it again because I just love this. You know, we're in Genesis, and that's Adam and Eve, right? But here we are in 1 Corinthians 15:22, and it just says there simply, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Is there anything that is a greater contrast between that? As in Adam, all die. It's the beginning of the Bible, right? Oh no, it's the beginning of the Bible. Everything's broken at the beginning of the story. But no. Right from that point, Jesus enters in, and the prophecy of Jesus coming is already foretold. And we see, no. It's not the end of the story. Jesus is coming and he's going to redeem. Jesus is coming to redeem mankind. Jesus has come to redeem men. Jesus has come to redeem women. Jesus has come to redeem families, has come to redeem communities, has come to redeem churches, has come to redeem this world. And that is a hopeful and a joyful message. And I am so thankful for that this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lord. Amen. We have a choir selection this morning. The choir doesn't know it yet, but they do. So, Brother Dan, come.
Well, this morning we're going to do this the way we do it in Ridgewood, where the choir doesn't know what we're singing until we actually do. And so, I would like the staff, anyone who has been on the staff, who is now on the staff, who is going to be on the staff, to sing with me this morning. We're going to sing a simple song out of our hymn books. And while you're praying about whether or not you want to join me, I'm just going to mention this. I'm so glad for the topics that our youth leaders have been covering with the youth this weekend. And these are things that we really need to hear about in our day. You know, we live in a world where the world is trying to redefine everything that they possibly can. And it's so important for us to have a solid foundation of a biblical view of God as the one who created everything, God as the one who has the right to define everything. And I want to thank you guys for doing what you're doing. It's really a labor of love. It's a great blessing. And the song that we'd like to sing this morning came to my mind in kind of in relation to this theme, because The song is Holy, Holy, Holy. It's an old song. It's number 51 in our hymnals. And this song is a song that just is a song of worshiping God, recognizing who He is. And I think that at the end of everything, once we've figured out what the Bible has to teach us about who God is and everything else, I think the important thing for us to remember is very simply this, that God is God and we are not. And I know that sounds really simple, and you might think, well, of course. But, you know, there's a practicality to that that plays out in our thinking and in our how our minds are shaped and in our daily lives and the decisions that we make. First of all, if we are thinking about, well, I know the Bible says this, but the whole world is telling me this instead, and they sound really smart when they're explaining all this to me, so what should I believe? That's one of those moments that you have to decide that God is God, and we are not. God is the one whose word is truth. He is the one who has created everything, and He has created truth. Amen. And then when we are making decisions throughout our day, am I going to make a decision that is a selfish choice of doing what I want or doing what God wants, what His word says? That's another moment where we are deciding in my practical life now, is God going to be God or am I going to be God? And then when we face difficulty, when we face trials, when we face situations in our lives that maybe tempt us to want to shake our fist at God and say, God, what are you doing? Right now I feel like I could be, you know, making these choices better than you are. And that's one of those moments too that we have to decide, hey, who's God? Is God God or am I God? And when we get to that point in our Christian walk, where we recognize day by day and everything that comes our way and all the choices that we make, that we are called upon to submit ourselves to God in every way, recognize that He is God and we are not. That will help us in every area of our life and every area of our thinking. And so if the staff could kind of join me over here in front of the organ, we're going to sing Holy, 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 a song that recognizes that God is the one who is holy, and we are here to bow humbly before Him with our face to the ground. So let's sing number 51 in our hymn books.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Necessarily get on your knees to bow, but your heart. Bow in your heart. Bow in your mind. Bow in your soul and in your spirit. Get down before the almighty hand of God. Humble yourself. Oh, he's a great God. A wonderful Savior. And oh, he's here to meet you and to meet us and to strengthen that which he's wrought and done and to accomplish more. To stamp into our hearts deeply the image of God. Let him do that now, and he'll do it as you bow before him. Acknowledge him. Worship him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Oh, we worship, we adore you, we bow to you, Lord. Hallelujah. His name is wonderful. Some of us this morning that have problems going on in your life. You're trying to figure it out. You're trying to sort it out, and it's not working. You're trying to get your life in order. Maybe it's your family life that needs to get in order. Maybe there's a problem with school. I don't know what it might be, but people have problems. And sometimes you can't even tell anybody else about them because they're too personal. It's hard to share even with sometimes your best friend. And sometimes I don't know that we even need to share them. We just need to bow down before Him. We just need to acknowledge Him. I have I'd call him a good friend. He'll be up at camp soon, and some of you know him. But a number of years ago, about three years ago, he was going through, he and his wife and family were going through a real hard time. A really hard time in the church that they were ministering in and serving at. Very difficult situation, and there was no answer to it. There was no solution, and it had been going on for quite a while. And it had begun to affect my friend, and he was not losing his touch with God or his faith in the Lord, but it was troubling him deeply, and he didn't know how to get out of it. He didn't know how to change it. He didn't know what to do. And at about that time, he decided with a group of people from that particular church to come to New York, and they joined us for our special meetings in church in one morning service. Morning services in morning worships at anniversary time in our churches are poorly attended. The only one that's important that's there is Jesus, and He always comes. So it really doesn't matter how many others join us, but maybe 10 to 15 people were in that meeting, and this man was there, and we sang that chorus that we just sang. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. As we got to that part where it says, bow down before Him, I noticed he got out of his seat where he was sitting, and he just knelt right in the aisle, just knelt there before God, and sang that chorus and that song together. And he told me afterwards, something happened. As I just acknowledged Him, the holiness, the majesty, the glory, the greatness of our God. And I just said, Lord, it's too much for me, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to, but Lord, change me. I allow you to come into my situation and work in my life and work in my heart. You're the master of everything. The master of everything. And you know all about me, and you know what's going on, and you're the master of everything. And he said, as he just knelt before God and turned it over to the Lord, something broke in him. The situation didn't change, got worse. But he changed. Something happened to him inside of his own heart and soul. God gave him light, direction, and really changed everything about the course of his life at that time in that little meeting as he just acknowledged and bowed down before God. He can do that this morning for you. He's holy. Holy means he's not anything like you or I. He's so distinct and separate. He's one of a kind. He's extraordinary. He's God. He's God. Far above all principalities and powers. And we have the opportunity to have an audience this morning with God. With the holy, almighty God. He condescends and comes and walks right in our midst. Why does he do that? I don't know why. I guess it's because he loves us. Because he died to redeem us. Because he wants to change us into his image. He wants to restore every mess that we've made and that the Adamic nature has caused in our lives. He wants to bring perfect, full, complete restoration. Not a halfway job, not a little bit better than I used to be, but he wants to restore us fully into his image, into his likeness, so that we not only fulfill the role that he has for us as men or women, but we fulfill the call of God over our lives, and that is to be like Jesus. That I, a child of hell, should in his image shine. The Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. The Father's promise given. Tell everybody you know. Spread the tidings round wherever man is found. God, by his Spirit, has come to take me, a child of hell, and revamp my life and transform it into a trophy of his grace. Because I can't do it, and I've tried, and you can't do it, and maybe you've tried, and maybe you're still trying, but this morning you just bowed down before him.
We can sing that again, and I'm not asking you to get out of your seat and kneel down, unless you want to. But bow in your heart. Just bring him in to that mess, that situation. Lord, I can't change this. I'm not like you here, but I don't know what to do about it. Just acknowledge him. He has a way of breaking the fetters. As we just open our hearts, the King of Glory, who's strong and mighty in battle, comes in. Let's sing it together. Let's worship as we sing. His name is wonderful. His name.
Hallelujah.
Let us sing number 118. And stand together and take our offering this morning as we sing 118.
This is the only day at camp in the week that we take an offering. And it's for the purpose of the Children's Fund, which will help send children to Pilgrim Camp next year. And so we'll collect that offering as we sing. 118. Before we sing the last verse, just a reminder that when the meeting is ended, a little bit after that, you'll hear one bell at 12:30. That's the dinner bell. And you won't have a warning bell, so don't think you got 30 more minutes. You don't. You wait 30 more minutes, there's liable to be no more whatever there is. And so at 12:30, dinner bell today. And then if you're just on grounds and staying for dinner, and you need to settle the bill and make the financial arrangements with Sister Aletha or Sister Elsie this morning, you can see them as you need to. We have, for the guests that are here and that would like to, an opportunity to pray this afternoon at 4:15 in the prayer room. 4:15. I know there's a staff meeting for third period staff, wherever that's held, you'll know if it's here or somewhere else, but that's at 3. Brother Dan said it won't take that long. But we want to make sure that the staff has ample time to hear what they need to hear. But at 4:15, guests, if you'd like to pray, we'll be in that prayer room later on this afternoon. And then our evening service tonight, for those of us that are here in Watch Rock, is 7:30 tonight here in this room. We should take time right now to pray for those at home, in our churches. They're at church right now. I suppose they are, unless you have something that I'm not aware of. But most of our churches are having their meeting, and we also want to pray for those children that are preparing to come to camp on Tuesday, that the Lord will bless and work in their hearts. Jesus, thank you. Thank you that you're here with us this morning. Thank you for your presence, your nearness. We believe that you're working in us. You're working now to will and to do of your good pleasure. We know what your good pleasure is, to restore us and to make us like yourself. We thank you, Lord, that you're working and continue to work in our hearts. And then we think of those back at home in our churches today, Lord. Bless them now. Come to them right in the middle of their service. We pray for them. Lord, whatever's happening, someone speaking, testifying, singing, worshiping, whatever they're doing, just come to them. Draw near to them. And Lord, accomplish your purpose in the meetings today, this morning, again this evening. We just pray, Lord, that you'll bless each one back at home in our assemblies. We give them to you and ask your rich blessing upon them. And we think of the boys, the little girls in the cottage that will be coming to camp, Lord, on Tuesday. Lord, we pray that you will prepare their hearts. We pray that the Holy Spirit will soften the hard places, if there be any hard places. We pray, Lord, that you will give them receptivity to your word right from the very beginning. Lord, that they'll really get to it. Lord, right from day one. That they wouldn't wait, Lord, but they'd open their hearts. You know how to break, and you know how to melt, and you know how to move, and we don't have to tell you what to do or how to do it. But Lord, we do invoke and pray that you'll do it, Lord, in these lives and in these hearts. Bless every counselor and give them faith and fill them with the Holy Spirit, that they would serve under the anointing of the Spirit of God. Thank you, the Comforter has come. The Holy Ghost from heaven. Lord, we don't want to serve you without the Comforter. We can't. We can't acceptably at least serve you. So give us help and grace. To that end, we pray for Jesus' sake, and we thank you for it. Amen. Amen. Shall we sing that last verse? Oh, boundless love divine, how shall this tongue of mine to every mortal tell the matchless grace divine? Amen. 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 He has.